In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Once every 3 years, the Advent season ends with a family crisis. A crisis that takes the husband into the dark night of faith. We enter the dark night with Joseph, Jesus' guardian father. Now, in some ways, this is a fitting end to Advent, maybe even a strange kind of consolation should this season bring difficulty for you. You see, through the years, if you follow the Advent story, there will be a year, or there will be years, when this season becomes disorienting or difficult within. Because if you really embrace the call to repentance, the call to wait, the call to prepare for the Lord's second coming, you'll experience walking through, well, a wilderness, or enduring a dark night. And this is where Matthew wants the story of Jesus to begin. Yeah, Matthew opens his gospel with an extended genealogy rooting Jesus in Israel's ancient story. But when the story of Jesus' birth comes, Matthew says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Mary was found to be with child during their betrothal before the marriage ceremony." So Mary conceives a child by the Holy Spirit, and Joseph receives no advance notice of the event. There's no act of courtesy to inform him first as the betrothed. There's no word of preparation to manage a family crisis that will soon become a public crisis. Joseph must discover the event of Mary's conception after the fact, not before. And this is the will of God. The conception of Mary's child must be a fact that Joseph learns after the fact itself. Now, Joseph was a good man, of course. He's a good man who's way in over his head. And being way in over his head, he chooses the path of virtue. Lesser men would not have done this. He chooses to afford Mary, in this dilemma, a much more generous future once this betrothal is dissolved. And the law was on Joseph's side in the matter. You see, the courts in this dispute, the courts would have ruled in his favor. And if Joseph followed the letter of the law, he may well have recovered financially the dowry he gave to Mary's father for her hand. But Joseph is willing to forfeit those funds because Joseph's a good man. He's a good man who's now called to do something beyond even his own extraordinary goodness. Joseph must believe something he cannot understand. He must believe, and he must refuse to leave Mary's side. Now consider how this story plays out within the grand saga of Israel, the saga that we follow through the prophets, through Isaiah in Advent. First century Palestinian Jews, whether they lived near the temple in Jerusalem, whether they lived as far north as backwater Nazareth, where Joseph and Mary live, they lived closely with the prophet's words. You see this in the rest of the gospel stories, how the prophets are in their consciousness. Israel, living through the exile in Babylon, and then returning home, and then after returning home, still living as exiles in their own homeland, they're living with this long question. When will God finally return and rescue his people? And within the prophets, Isaiah perhaps more than others, this long question has disclosed an open secret. Isaiah disclosed God's open secret with figures. A virgin, Emmanuel, a royal son, the Prince of Peace. The open secret through Isaiah, it disclosed God's redemption that was coming, but it was not altogether clear how these things would be. And so that open secret became a long secret across centuries, across generations, over 600 years long, and it's a thread we can trace from Isaiah's words in his era all the way down to the ears of our heroes, a betrothed peasant couple in Nazareth. Isaiah's long secret was that a virgin shall conceive a son. And in that secret, Mary, when she's visited by the archangel Gabriel, she has a script living within Isaiah's prophecy. The prophets also announce prophecies about chosen places for Israel's Savior: Galilee, Nazareth, Bethlehem. But note this, there's no prophecy of the virgin's husband in Isaiah. There's no other mention of the virgin's mother's husband in the prophets. So think of that. Joseph has no script. Now Mary, she treasures all the wonders of the prophecy's fulfillment. She's pondering these things in her heart. Mary is singing the Magnificat. Mary has a script, she sings. Joseph sees a crisis. Joseph searches for the solution. And then, in the midst of this crisis, this dark night of the soul, Joseph goes to sleep. And when Joseph goes to sleep, he has been living in an experience that no one envies, and I would say especially men. He's afraid. See, when men experience fear, we seek safety or we seek solutions to a problem through our abilities, our skills, our intellect. None of those things are going to save Joseph. God has led Joseph to this vulnerable place where he cannot possibly save himself. And though Joseph has no clear prophecy delineating the virgin's husband and his role in the life of the virgin's child, Joseph does belong to his fathers. He has this lineage of fathers whom God made vulnerable to. Fathers whom God led into a dark night also. Remember the first husband, the first father, Adam. Remember when Adam was alone, God permitting his vulnerability, even in paradise before the fall. Adam is in that place, vulnerable, where he could not find a helper fit for him on his own. So what does God do with Adam? He puts him to sleep. And it's a sleep where Adam's going to be opened up, and in being opened up, his very life is in God's hands. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up with its flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man, and then Adam. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Yes, when Adam could not acquire a suitable helper through his own ability or skill, when he entered that dark night, God was working. And God was working in and during Adam's sleep so that Adam might see glory. Remember the man, too, appointed to be the father of many nations, Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, Abraham. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. A land that I will show you, Abraham, it's not a land that you know. You must leave your homeland, Haran. I will show you the land I'm giving to you and giving to your descendants. Now, when it comes to the matter of descendants, of course, God leads Abraham into a dark night. It's a dark night where Abraham has been helpless, and he's been helpless after leaving Haran for a long time regarding this most important promise. And then God says, he reveals in a vision, your reward will be great. To which Abraham answers God, he says, there's a contradiction here. And he is helpless. I continue childless, Lord. You have given me no offspring. And what does he do? What does God do with Abraham? He brings Abraham outside. When? At night. You will see glory, Abraham. Count the stars if you can. So shall your descendants be. What does God do next with Abraham? Puts Abraham to sleep. And it's a deep sleep, much like Adam in Eden, and yet it's more terrifying, it seems, when you come to Genesis 15, when it says, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon Abraham. But what did Abraham witness when he awoke from that darkness? The glory of the Lord passing through his midst in the form of a smoking pot and of a flaming torch, and then a promise that his descendants, which could not be numbered in the night sky, they would dwell in safety. And now, 42 generations from that night, Matthew summarized the math for us, Joseph, a son of Abraham's line, falls asleep too when Joseph is helpless. Helpless and afraid to see this betrothal through to marriage. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Did you notice that mention of another father in Joseph's lineage and that address from the angel? Joseph, son of David. David, Israel's greatest king and yet the least of Jesse's sons. David, who was a young man, refused Saul's armor, the implements of human power, when he faced off against Goliath. Goliath came before David and he was holding sword and spear and javelin. David did not come before Goliath in his own power. David was a shepherd. Goliath is a giant. And what does David say? He rebukes Goliath when he says, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And there in the dark night, Joseph witnessed the glory of the Lord, now heretofore hidden from his sight. The child conceived in Mary is from the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that moved in darkness in the beginning, that hovered over the waters in creation just before God revealed his glory with the words, let there be light. Joseph may not have had an obvious prophecy, a clear script, but he has the scriptural story of his fathers encountering the Holy One of Israel in their helplessness, in their dark night. He has the testimonies that God rewards those who depend on him, who trust in him and lean not on their own understanding. What do we see from these stories of husbands and fathers in their helplessness, of entering the dark night and a deep sleep during a crisis? These three things, this pattern. The glory of God is hidden, often concealed even in the dark night. Secondly, vulnerability and helplessness, they are not to be feared. They are the very conditions that God uses so that we learn to believe, learn to trust, learn to surrender and yield to the Lord beyond what we understand. And then lastly, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Will be revealed. And on the other side of the dark night, we will be witnesses of God's wonder, His wonder of wonders. At the end of Advent, on the other side of this dream during Mary's pregnancy, we are ready at the end of this season to go to Bethlehem with Mary and her husband Joseph now to witness the glory of the Lord with angels announcing the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem's stable. We will go to Bethlehem soon, but while we're meditating on the presence of God in Joseph's story, may I remind you that Joseph's life was shaped not by this single dream, but by four dreams. To endure one dark night, to encounter the glory of God after a great trial once, does not mean the end of trials thereafter. You see, future trials were hidden from Joseph when he's in that glow of the angel's song above the manger on Christmas night. Joseph will have a new crisis that will call for a new trust after that night. Remember when Joseph sleeps again after the birth of Jesus? An angel appears to Joseph in a second dream, and he declares King Herod's murderous plan to kill all male children under the age of two in Bethlehem, the angel saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then, in the middle of the night, Joseph seems that he learns how to trust in the night, doesn't he? The Holy Family then become refugees. They journey to Egypt for safety. And then in Egypt, we have Joseph's third dream. Herod has died, and an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are now dead." And then en route, in the middle of that trip to Judea, Joseph learns that Herod's child, Archelaus, he now rules in his father's place. And this news strikes fear in Joseph's heart. It seems God means to train Joseph right when he's afraid. In those moments when he's endangered, when his life and his family's life is threatened, that's when God is forming Joseph in his fear. Afraid and asleep, you know what's coming next, don't you? A dream. And an angel. The fourth dream. You kind of wonder if Joseph got to a point where he was nervous to go to sleep. I mean, after that dream, that fourth dream, who could blame him for thinking, "Herod's dead, I just want to go home to Nazareth. I want to love this woman, I want to raise this boy, and I want to sleep through the night." Do not think Joseph just this mere accessory to the story of Jesus. It was not good for Mary to be alone, to bear the Lord Jesus in her womb without Joseph at her side. Joseph's care and support for Mary, the mother of our Lord, they are essential in her pregnancy and delivery. Joseph's protection and guidance in the journey to Egypt are critical to Jesus' story. And yet, God summoned Joseph to be more than a guardian. He's not there just to be a protector alone. He was summoned by God, Joseph, for spiritual purposes in the life of our Lord too. To be that man who would live by faith, by trust and obedience, even when God was hidden from his sight. Think about it. Jesus learned dependence and he saw obedience from somewhere, didn't he? His first visible examples were his mother, who answered the archangel Gabriel, "Be it to me according to your word."
and his guardian father, living often through dark nights, who obeyed the commands from angels appearing in four dreams. The guardian father's pattern was not unlike the destiny of the son he was called to lead. Because Jesus has his own dark night, doesn't he? That dark night in the Garden of Gethsemane, where our Lord yields to the Father's will. And there, in our Lord's own vulnerability, when he trusted beyond his own understanding, we see angels again. Angels come and minister to him in his weakness. His was the greatest trial, but remember, Jesus came to that moment, Gethsemane, with a heritage. The heritage of his divinely appointed father, Joseph, who trusted the Lord through several dark nights, who learned dependence upon God without understanding, who learned obedience when he was vulnerable, when he was afraid. The end of Advent is near. So should you struggle now or through this season, through your own dark night, remember the pattern of our fathers. God's glory is often hidden. It's concealed within that dark night. But do not fear the sense of helplessness within. These are the very conditions where you learn to believe and trust, depend on God alone with all of your soul. And remember, one day this night will be over. And on the other side of that dark night of unknowing, you will experience the wonder of God, the glory and beauty of God. That story abides from generation to generation. Weakness leads to wonder in God, and a personal encounter with the Holy One, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.